Stephen Jewell here.
Good day.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about planning for your family legacy like Sarah's farm. Who the heck is Sarah?
Sarah is our niece. And this is because of a story that I heard. And I was talking to your sister yesterday, and she was sharing with me Sarah's farm, one of their properties that they purchased. And I thought this was really, really cool, and I want to talk about it more.
If you're a regular listener, you know this, but my little sister lives in Traverse City, Michigan, and she's an extremely successful residential real estate agent. Mm-hmm. She's actually the single only residential real estate agent that I enjoy spending time with.
That is true. Wait, there's two.
We
have two. We have one more local.
Yeah. And so she's been accumulating property. She pours a lot of her money, the commission money that she earns, into buying properties. And I think she's up to, what, 20 or 30?
20 doors.
And so one of them is Sarah's Farm, which I think, tell the story.
For the show.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Mike L. asks, "Hi, Stephen Jill. I recently sent out a mailer and have been getting calls back. It's exciting, but everyone wants more than we are offering. I'm okay with that, but I'm having trouble properly assessing the true market value against the land flippers on LandWatch who are properly following your advice and to price less than the cheapest listed seller to move land fast. We have no seller list yet, and we have priced well enough, it seems, but we can't move much higher if I'm basing the sales price off the lowest seller. I can find the lowest one I can find on LandWatch. Have you or others had any experience with this? Is it worth acquiring with the expectation that the sales price will fall more towards the average low?
Yes.
Usually other flippers, or the one or two that are viciously low? Please help. I've got an example below if my question didn't make sense."
It makes complete sense.
I'm sorry. I got to say what he put in here too. This is so cute. Oh, this is good. Hey, good way to do this. This is how you get on the show. He put # podcast question, # love the show, # I'll put whatever I have to put here to get on the show, # you just told us to do something like this to get your question on the show. Mike. # Mike, you did great.
That was hilarious, actually. Perfect. I didn't even realize that when I put this question in here.
That was so good. All right, do you want me to listen? Do you want me to read the example?
Well, it says, for example, we listed a property, you know, for $750. They made an offer for $750, and the guy wants $4,000. So the cheapest on LandWatch is $2,500. Everybody else falls into the $4,000 to $5,000 range for the same property that's in a planned urban development. That's East Coast speak for master plan community.
Right.
So there's two questions here. He's questioning whether he priced the mailer correctly. And then on the deals that are coming back, he's asking us, what should I do? What's an acceptable number? Is $2,000 acceptable if I can sell it for $4,000? Is $750 better? And on and on. So number one, I think you went in probably scraping the bottom a little too much. Which I understand because Jill and I kind of do that too, pricing wise. Probably would have been a little bit better if everything's selling between $4,000 and $5,000 for $2,000, purchasing it between $1,000 and $2,000 instead of $750. But that's okay because they're still calling you back. You can turn some deals out of this thing. Number two, LandWatch and Land and Farm, or Land.com as it's called now, are great places to price mailers, but just kind of take it with a grain of salt. More and more, I'm recommending that you really check the MLS out and some stuff on Craigslist and get a little bit more creative about what these properties are really selling for and adjust your pricing that way. If you've got lots of examples of a property selling between $4,000 and $5,000, I wouldn't have a problem spending $2,000 on a property at all.
Right.
Especially in the very beginning of your career.
Exactly. So why I hear it is too, is am I expected to be half of the cheapest one that I find, which is one of us? No. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
It's the cheapest in the lowest range.
Exactly. And when you do this, like Stephen's saying, you know, check a bunch of different areas. I tell people too, get a variety of comps, throw out the crazy high one, throw out the crazy low one, and then take that range in there and you're like, all right, where you want to price to sell, is on the lower end of that number.
Yeah.
So and that should really help you. So if you like, say for they have 750. Obviously, yeah, you're not going to buy it for 4,000. But somebody else might call you back and say, you know what, I don't like 750, but I like 1,500. You're going to go done because I know I can buy it for 1,500, and then I'm going to sell it for 3,200, and I'm still going to be below the majority of everybody out there with like-kind property. That makes sense.
Good advice, Jill.
Thanks.
That's exactly what I would say. Thanks. Exactly. Today's topic, planning your family legacy, like Sarah's farm. This is the meat of the show. Tell us a story, Jill.
So, I had an awesome conversation with Steven's little sister yesterday. Her name is Anne, and we love her. She's awesome. And her son's going to actually come out and visit us, and he hasn't been out here. I don't know if he's ever been to California.
No, he hasn't.
Oh, he's in for a treat, by the way. The kid is 20. Oh, the kid's 20. He's bringing his girlfriend. And I'm going to say this now on the air. I already prefaced this, so I have to say it. She said, be warned, he has a fake ID. I said, they all do, you know.
Yeah.
At 20, they all do, and they're good. So anyway, it's so funny.
Aren't you the cool mom?
Thank you. Thank you very much. So anyway, so we're talking about, I'm like, so tell me about your business. What do you have going on? She's like, well, we're at 20 doors, and we're really happy with that, you know. And one of the properties that she talked about, she calls it Sarah's Farm. And actually, we were at Sarah's Farm yesterday. I'm like, what's Sarah's Farm? She says, well, one of the properties that we bought is for Sarah, our daughter, who is 18, just graduated high school, and she has a bunch of animals. And so it's like they have this property, they lease it out, and the person on the property cares for the animals as well as the property. She said, we were just out there yesterday because the person who takes care of it for us was gone, so we had to go out and check on the animals. So it was really making me think. I'm like, you know, we have a bunch of property. I'm going to ask you about that in a minute. That I know we have earmarked and plans that we have earmarked, but it was fun hearing from somebody else and what she is planning for her family. You know, these 20 doors, I don't know who's going to go to Owen. I don't know who's going to, you know, I obviously know that one's Sarah's farm. And Sarah knows right now that that farm mom and dad have bought will be hers someday. It may be in her name right now. It's Sarah's farm.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, and it's such a, it's so good. And we should all be thinking of this, you know, thinking of not just right now and today, but planning for the future and planning for our mm-hmm. family. What a great way to do that is say, well, that's Sarah's farm and Sarah knows it and Sarah's going to have that someday. So I'd like to know your thoughts, and then I would like to know some of our plans, yeah. Whatever you want to share.
Well, here's the thing about legacy property. You know, in general, property generally goes up in value in this country anyway. My sister got this idea because when my mom passed away, she willed, or, you know, we inherited two houses in Michigan, in a small town in Michigan where we grew up, where we both went to high school. And then both of them were leased, and they were leased at just about zero, netted zero just about every month. And one of the tenants specifically was, I mean, they paid my mom's mortgage off while she was alive. So we got these properties, and then we owned them for years and years and years. My sister kind of managed them. The thing about that town is that it never really increased in value. So the property, we almost sold the properties, both of them, for about what my mom had paid for them. And so because the way that the rent situation is, because generally in Michigan, it's just tough. It's not like the West Coast where property values just seem to, you know, there's no ceiling. So we want to make sure that if you're going to leave legacy property, and I'm sure my sister's figured this out on this farm, that it's somehow cash flowing or paying for itself. And if I know my sister, she's paid cash for it. So that leaves property taxes and some other probably maintenance type stuff. So she's probably letting the guy live there. Maybe it's $500-$600 he's paying a month or some version of that, just to make sure that the whole thing's whole. And property values in Traverse City are always going up. So Traverse City, Michigan. So I think she's got to figure it out. But what you don't want to do is buy a piece of property, a piece of vacant land, and pay the taxes on it for 25 years, and then the kids get it. Because unless it's a very extraordinary piece of property that is in some type of growth area that you have inside information on. And if that's the case, that's fine. But you really need to figure out how to not pay the taxes on it. Because generally, the more valuable the property is, the higher the taxes are going to be. That's not always true, but it's generally true. So figure out a way to cash flow it. People are looking for land leases all the time, or all kinds of things.
That's true.
I think legacy property, my sister figured this all out. Legacy property is real specific use, and it's one property that can cash flow.
Right.
So if you can turn a 30 unit portfolio over to your kids that's paid for and cash flowing reasonably well, not setting the world on fire, I think that's extraordinary.
I agree.
And that's actually our plan.
Yeah, and all her 20 doors, I mean, they really are 20 doors.
Mm-hmm.
They are homes that people are paying for. You're right.
She's purchasing, I know exactly what she's doing. She's buying very inexpensive properties in a town called Cadillac, Michigan, where you can buy a house that's tenantable for $20,000 or $30,000, maybe $40,000, and it commands a lease rate of almost $1,000 a month. So, you know, in Traverse City, it's not uncommon for her to get a commission on one deal that's $30,000 and just go buy a house and rent it out.
Mm-hmm.
And she's lucky enough to, her husband's, he's managing the whole thing full time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a team situation
it
like
really
we have.
Is. Exactly.
So she just comes up with the seed capital and he spends it and make sure the tenants pay.
Exactly. It's a great thing. Yeah, just like us, we talked a little bit about that. She's like, he handles it all, 100%.
Yeah.
She does her part, he does his part. It's perfect. It's a beautiful thing.
So that, you know, that little company they have probably generates 15, maybe 20,000 bucks a month.
Mm-hmm.
Free and clear before tax. And then the beautiful thing about that is that the properties themselves are probably going up 3-5% a year in value. So hopefully, I don't know.
Exactly. Hey, so Woody, what's our plan? I know you have stuff. I don't know how much you want to share. Okay, got it.
No, Jill and I are cooking up a private syndication company where we'll ask our members, Man Academy members, House Academy members. We're waiting for the groups to get a little bit bigger for House Academy to really kick in.
Right.
We have lots of money partners now, but we can pretty easily show a 10% return on money for investors in a closed group. We're not going to go get SEC filings or anything. You have to be a Land Academy member, a House Academy member for more than 6 months. There's all kinds of rules that we plan on following to the letter. And so we're going to buy some properties together with financial partners, and that's how it's going to go. Probably in Arizona. Because we're so familiar with it. And it's
true.
You know, my sister and her husband chose Cadillac, Michigan for a reason. In Arizona, Jill and I know really, really well, Maricopa County and Phoenix. We can buy properties for $150,000 to $200,000, four bedroom, three bath, built 1970s or 80s and newer, and it'll command $1,800 in rent. So it's just a tick up from what my sister's doing, but the numbers work.
Exactly.
Taxes are real cheap. It's hard to do in California.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's legacy property in a nutshell. I mean, what do you think? What are there other creative product types, you know, that you think would be good legacy property?
Apartment
buildings and stuff?
That
requires
be.
Management. If you can get big enough property, Class A apartment buildings, where it justifies very easily a professional property manager, that's not so bad either. Mm-hmm. I have a buddy who inherited a...
mobile home park.
Yeah, mobile home park. And
that would be a good one.
With two of his siblings, and that was great.
Yep.
You know, they live off that. With his personality type, that's very dangerous for him not to have a job.
True.
Hey, we know your time is valuable. Thanks for spending some of it with us today. Anyway, join us next time for the episode called Member Kevin Farrell Shares His Successful Land Academy Stories.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community found at landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You know, it's pretty funny that we just had a little estate planning meeting on the air here.
I know. I agree. I think that's good.
I didn't blindside you, did I?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.